We're going to consider this morning, and begin considering this morning, the Christian and his belief, or and his behavior. And it's amazing what James begins to speak about when he shifts gears here into this Christian and his behavior. I believe that he begins here with one of the most elementary identifications of whether or not an individual is mature or not. You can tell an awful lot about an individual by the way they talk. Amen? You'll learn a lot about an individual by the way they talk, what they talk about, if they talk at all. You know, I was at a meeting this week, and there was a preacher at this meeting that I respect tremendously. He'll be here in October. His name's Bobby Robertson. He's pastored 50-plus years at the same church. God's used him in a tremendous way there. But I observed him. I saw a lot of preachers, you know, they were out, had their pens out signing Bibles. You say, what's wrong with that? I've been talking about the chaos of cults. I'll cover that in the next few weeks. We're making heroes out of people we don't need to be making heroes of. They were talking about this and that. I watched Bobby. He just sitting there, not saying a word, just kind of looking around. Bobby's 80 plus years old. He's already forgot more than I'll ever know. And I'm watching him and I'm thinking, you know, there's a picture of maturity. He don't have to tell everybody everything he knows. He doesn't have to prove himself. You can tell an awful lot about a person by the way they talk. They got to tell you everything they're doing. Good chance they're not doing half of what they're saying. Most of you know I referee and umpire. You can tell an awful lot about an official before the game ever begins. In football, we travel as a crew. There'll be six or seven of us traveling together. You can always tell the one that's going to have the wrong call or an inadvertent whistle on the crew before the game ever starts. Say, how do you know that? Because all he wants to talk about is how good of an official he is before he gets there. I mean, he's done this and he's done that and he knows this and he knows that and he knows this guy and he knows that guy. And sure enough, as soon as the game starts, he's going to blow a call. You know why? He's not mature. I can tell you an umpire is going to miss a call. I told my wife the other day, I was umpiring the regional playoff game here with Salem and Cave Spring and Hidden Valley. And the last statement I made before walking out of the house, I said, if anything weird happens, it's going to happen tonight. Say, how'd you know that? Because I knew who I was working with. He knows everything about anything. And sure enough, we had three ejections. The game went crazy. Coaches and fans, we had to run to the locker room because a fan was chasing us. He knows everything. You know what the problem is? He's not mature. You can tell an awful lot about a fellow by the way he uses his tongue. Isn't it amazing that God gives us two ears and two eyes and two hands and two feet and one tongue behind a cage of teeth with lips that need to be sealed most of the time? You say, what's the moral of the story? We ought to talk a lot less than we do. James here begins to deal with the Christian and his behavior, and he begins speaking about the tongue. And it's interesting here. He says in verse 1, and we'll begin reading here. The Bible says, my brethren, notice who he's speaking to, be not many masters. That word masters means teachers. Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. And every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. I want us to think this morning about this. I started to entitle the message today, The Worst Member of This Church. That is the worst member. Amen. The tongue is the worst member of the church. You say, how many members you have? Well, I don't know, to be honest with you, but I know we got some bad ones. You say, who's the bad ones? The ones that use us the wrong way. The worst member of the church is the tongue that's out of control. We're going to talk about that this morning. Let's ask the Lord to teach us what it is we need to learn. And as He teaches us, let's be good learners, good listeners, and let's determine to obey that which the Lord has given us in this message this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the privilege and the opportunity we have in being here today. We thank You for the songs that we've been able to sing that have reflected and reminded us of You. We thank You for the sweet fellowship we've enjoyed amongst Your people. And Lord, I pray today that as we have an opportunity to hear from Your Word, that we might open our hearts and minds to the truth. And Lord, may we be determined to obey that which You have for us. Lord, I know this morning that apart from You, we can do nothing. Lord, I understand today that without You, nothing beneficial will take place in this service. And so, Lord, please, I ask You this morning to use us as a tool or an instrument in Your hand to do the work that we as human instruments are not capable of doing. Lord, I love You today, and I have a desire to honor You in all that's said and done. I have a desire to be a blessing, but more than a blessing, Lord, I have a desire to honor You. So help us to do such, and we'll thank You for each and everything that's accomplished today. Again, for we know that You've made it possible. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We have in this passage several things. I'll make a few observations, and then we'll really get into the heart of the message this morning. But I see, first of all, a divine standard in this message. Also, we see a devastating statement in verses 3 through 12. And then we see a desire that should be sought after the latter portions here of this passage. But I want to give you just a few thoughts this morning. And how many has ever been to the doctor? And he immediately does two things. The first thing he usually does is take your blood pressure and check your pulse. And the second thing he does is normally he sticks a stick down your throat and says, open wide and say, ah. What's he doing? Well, he's observing things in the mouth. He's looking at different things. He's looking at your tongue. You know, they say old doctors could tell whether or not somebody was healthy by looking at their tongue. Now, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, past or present. So I don't really know that, but I know that they look in your mouth. And certainly this is an analogy here of the Christian life. Christ says that we need to guard our mouths. We need to guard our tongue. And again, we've been speaking on the moving toward maturity. And again, as I said a moment ago, you can tell an awful lot about an individual by the way they talk or the way they use the tongue that God has put in their mouth. And I want us to just think about this morning. I'll give you two or three things from this. First of all, I see here a maturity that the tongue reveals. It'll either reveal maturity or a lack thereof. Again, notice if you would in verse number 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. Isn't that amazing? And able also to bridle the whole body. We see here that the Bible says, if any man offend not in word, this same in, or this individual is a perfect. That word perfect means mature man. And so we see here the maturity that the tongue reveals. And I see here, as we think about this maturity, first of all, a failure that involves the tongue. The truth is, often we're concerned that we may not say the right thing, but we are very concerned. We need to be more concerned that we say the wrong thing. There are times when our concern should be that we say nothing at all. You know, sometimes my grandfather used to say this, son, he said it'd be better that you not open your mouth and open your mouth and show that you're a fool. You ever heard that? Sure we have. It'd be better off for folks to suspect we're crazy. It'd be better off for folks to think that we may be ignorant. It may be better off that folks think we're foolish than for us to open our mouths and prove them right. And so we see here a failure that involves the tongue. It's amazing. I was thinking this week as I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about Lazarus. When the Lord raised him from the dead, I've said recently, when I first got into ministry, I was called upon to do a funeral. I thought, well, I need to find out how the Lord did a funeral. I soon discovered he didn't do any funerals. You do the study yourself. Every funeral he come upon, he raised the one from the dead. I said, well, I can't do that. I had a preacher ask me the other day, he's baptizing someone for the very first time. He said, you got any advice for me? I said, yeah, don't drown them. Get them up. Don't leave them there. And he said, we're doing it in a river. I said, carry a stick. He said, what's a stick for? I said, you may come across a hole. If you get in a hole deep enough, you're going to be out of sight. You're going to baptize yourself. Carry a stick. And I was relating to him years ago. There was a lady in our church got baptized. We didn't know she had a wig on. The pastor put her under the water, and all he brought out was that head, or that wig. I said, good night. He's ripped her head off. She's there thrashing in the water trying to get out, you know. I said, make sure they don't have a wig on. He said, are you serious? I said, I'm telling you, if anything can happen, it'll happen then. And I've seen water come over the glass of baptistries. I've seen folks fall in holes in rivers. I've seen wigs come off. I thought, well, I can't learn how to do a funeral because the Lord never did a funeral. So I began to ask fellas. They'd share with me different things to do. I was glad for their advice. But I was thinking about Lazarus, you know, when the Lord raised him from the dead. You know, when he came out of the tomb, he was still bound up. He was limited in what he could do. He didn't have freedom. He didn't have liberty. And he still had those grave clothes on, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And the Lord said, loose him and let him go. I often wonder, you know, there's a lot of Christians in the same condition. They have life but no liberty. Their mouths are bound to certain things. Now, some need to keep them bound permanently. It's amazing what people use their tongues for. They can either bless or blast someone. They can either encourage or discourage. They can either build or berate someone. By the way, we ought to encourage one another. I always try to ask folks how they're doing. And most of the time, they say, I'm doing great. Well, I know everybody's not doing great. You say, well, why do you want to hear it? Well, I just try to encourage them. Well, I'm praying for you. We got a visiting police officer here today. I said, we pray for you often. I said, I didn't know his name, but we pray for police officers often. His wife's a dispatcher. And Fabricio, he's a police officer. We pray for him. We pray for Josh. We pray for Zach. They're all involved in these first responder positions. We pray for them. And that's a good thing to use your tongue for, to pray. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of folks that's using prayer lines as a gossip line. We don't have one here. I don't want folks tempted to turn that thing into a curse. That means say amen. And I know how some folks are. You know, they want to be the first to tell the bad thing that happened to somebody. I won't give you a prayer list and here's all the details about it. Why don't you just give the name and say pray for this individual and leave out the rest of it? That doesn't matter. The Lord knows that. You don't have to tell the Lord. And you don't need to be telling everybody else. You know? But we see this failure that involves the tongue. But also we see a function that requires the tongue. Over in the book of Acts, the Bible tells us that we should be witnesses unto him. Our tongues become involved in the function. When our tongues become involved in that function, we've gained a degree of maturity that we should be maturing towards. I said a moment ago, our tongues can be used to destroy or they can be used to build up. We ought to try to encourage one another. We ought to use this tongue the Lord gave us to share the truth of God's word and to pray for one another. You know, I wonder how many churches would have revival if people's tongue would get revived. Amen. We're not here to talk against one another. Matter of fact, we're not here to talk about it against any other church. You know what I'm getting ready to say. We're not in competition with any church. We're not in competition with any church. I'm glad that all churches that stand right upon the Bible, I'm glad that God's blessing them. To whatever degree, I'm glad. I mentioned Bobby Robertson a moment ago. Bobby Robertson has several thousand in his church every single week. You say, you jealous of that? No, I'm glad God blesses him. We're not in competition with Bobby Robertson or Gospel Light Baptist Church. We're not in competition with any church in Salem, Virginia. We're glad and we're thrilled when people get saved. We're glad and we're thrilled when people walk closer to the Lord. We're excited about that. I heard of a church down in Floyd last week. A young fella trusted Christ as his Savior. I said, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. And yet we want to talk bad about churches and preachers and Christians. I want to tell you, that has no place in the work of God. We see here a maturity that the tongue reveals. You tell an awful lot about yourself by the way you talk. If all you want to do is talk bad about somebody, what are you doing? You're showing you're not very mature. You haven't grown up. I started to preach a message years ago, and I did preach the message, but I changed the title. I started to entitle it, Get Out of the Sandbox and Lay Down the Pacifier. When I was pastoring in St. Louis, I mentioned that occasion. You know, you have to pacify people. And one of my deacons, I don't know where he found this, but he found a pacifier about this big. He said, I think you ought to put that in the pulpit and just pull it out when it's needed. I did. I kept it right in the pulpit. I seen somebody pout and I'd pull it out. I say, some folks need pacified. Let's burp them like a baby. Pat them on the back. You know, there's some Christians, they can't exist without being patted on the back. You know why? Babies need burped. Now, don't get quiet on me. Don't bow your head. It's not time to pray. We see here the maturity the tongue reveals. I notice a second thing here, and that's a ministry the tongue fulfills. You know, there's four things mentioned here in James chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. There's bits, there's rudder, there's fire, and there's poison. Bits, rudder, fire, poison. And I'm sad to say that all four of those has been seen in the lives of some Christians. I grew up on a farm. I still love animals. When I go to the fair, I don't really go for any other reason than to see the cows and the chickens. And you can ask my wife, the first thing I go look at when I go into the Salem Fair is the animals. I love them. They had a bunch of little chickens there this year. Had some baby goats that had been born that day. Loved them things. Had a milk cow there. They was actually milking that cow. I love that. I like to look at horses and cows and sheep and goats and chickens. And they had some weird animals there this year. They had a porcupine. I don't care much looking at that thing. And had some other stuff. But I grew up on a farm. We had cows and sheep. We had goats. We didn't have sheep. We had goats. Had cows and goats and chickens and dogs. And my dad's got a zoo full of cats now. That's why I don't go home very often. I'm praying for his sanctification, but it hadn't hit yet. So. I'm just teasing. I love little kittens. I hate big cats, but I love little kittens. But we used to ride horses a lot. I love to ride horses. I love it. I like to put a cowboy hat on, put cowboy boots on, jump on a horse. I like to ride a horse. Now, we had horses that you'd pull the bit in their mouth one way, and that's the way they'd go. Now, on one particular occasion, we got a horse that was what they call neck reined. And there was a young lady that was riding. I grew up, like I said, in the country, and our road in front of our house was dirt road, gravels, all that stuff. And I seen this girl riding this horse, and man, that horse is flying. I said, and there's a hairpin curve right before you get to our driveway. I was thinking, there's no way. There's no way this girl's going to make that turn there. And sure enough, as soon as that horse hit that curve, she went one way and the horse went another way. I mean, she's bleeding, cut from head to toe, moaning and groaning. I thought, oh man, I thought she had died, but I heard her moaning. I realized she's still alive. We went down there and of course we was asking if she's all right. And man, she was mad at that horse. I hate that horse. I said, well, what do you want to do with it? She said, I'd like to kill it. I said, well, I don't think you ought to do that. And I said, well, what? She said, if you'll give me $100, you can have that horse. The saddle was worth that. She's giving the saddle away. I loved that horse. That horse was a great horse. That's the only horse I ever rode that I could make him back up. He'd back up. I discovered that horse had been a barrel racer horse in the rodeo. But that horse had been trained, when you lay the rein on its neck, that's the way it went. You didn't have to pull the bit. When you pulled the bit, it actually went the opposite way. Great horse. But he talked about bits. That's how you guide a horse. That talks about leadership. You know, there's some folks, they're just so rebellious, they're not going to do anything that the Bible says or the preacher encourages them to do. Just like that horse, she was pulling all she could, and that horse wasn't going that way. That bit speaks of leadership. That rudder speaks of direction. By the way, right here's where we get our direction. This is the guidebook, the atlas, the map for the Christian life. There's a lot of folks trying to live the Christian life, and they don't even open this book. How many's ever got lost? Now, all you men ought to have both hands up. Your wife says, I don't think that's the right way. I'm the driver. If you want to drive, I'll switch places with you. But as long as I'm driving, it's my way. Ever been there? Every one of us have. You circle the block 17 times and you say, boy, don't that look familiar? Yeah, we've been here 17 times. But there's a lot of people trying to live a Christian life. They don't even open their Bible. They wonder why they're going around in circles. They don't have any direction. They don't have any direction. By the way, we ought to use our tongue to help direct people to the Lord. We ought to use it to direct people. Now, we don't save people. We just lead them to the one who can. I got a friend. He was led to the Lord by another friend of mine. Brother Ward led him to the Lord. He's a referee. He's a baseball umpire. They were on their way home from a baseball game. We got to talking, and Brother Ward led him to the Lord. And his name's Tony. And every time I talked to Tony, he said, "Yeah, Brother Ward saved me." Now, I know what he meant by that. But he's excited. He's involved in church now, and his family's involved in church now. They're serving the Lord, and things are going well. But he used his tongue for the right reason. But both a bit in a horse's mouth and a rudder on a ship, they're used to direct and they're used to lead, and both are small compared to what they direct. You ever wonder how a ship stays afloat in the water? How in the world does something that big float? You ever wonder how an airplane stays in the air? How does something that big stay up in the air? Well, there's some engineers that have a lot more sense than I've got. They figured it out. But that big ship is steered with a little rudder. That big horse, he's led and he's directed by a little bit. They're small compared to what they direct. And sometimes we're inclined to think that words are so small and so insignificant that they're not really important. I want to tell you, every word we speak is important. We see here the ministry of direction is seen, but also destruction is spoken of as well. It speaks about fire and poison. Both are destructive. But there is usually a difference. Fire, most of the time, is accidental. Poison is deliberate. There are going to be times we say things that we didn't really mean for them to be taken the way they were. Accidental. But there are some times we use our words as poison, and they're deliberate. They're deliberately attempts to hurt people. Again, fire symbolizes words spoken in a fit of anger at times. We get fired up. How many's ever got mad and said something you wish you hadn't said? Say, "I didn't really mean that. It's an accident." It really wasn't an accident, but you didn't intend to hurt somebody. Fire. It's oftentimes words spoken out of rage and anger. But poison illustrates that gossip. Those remarks, those clever incriminations that we levy and level at someone. I read a story, and I can't remember when it happened or where it happened. But a lady poisoned her husband a little bit at a time by putting antifreeze in his iced tea. Most of you know antifreeze has a sweet taste to it. Don't taste it. It's poison. Don't run out of here and say, "I'm going to drink a cup of antifreeze." We'll be having your funeral Wednesday because your kidneys will cease to function. But she poisoned her husband over a number of weeks or months. She had put just a dropper full of antifreeze in his iced tea, unbeknownst to him. And eventually the antifreeze, there was so much antifreeze in his system that it shut down his kidneys. He died. That was deliberate. That was a deliberate act of poisoning an individual. And there's a lot of people, and pardon me if this bothers you, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. There's a lot of people who are killing others with gossip. Have you heard the latest? We don't want to hear it. zip it up, and keep it quiet. Because I'm sure if somebody really wanted to, they could tell the latest on you. Poison. Well, I'm just trying to help them. Well, how are you helping them telling somebody else? Amen? It's either amen or oh me. We see the ministry the tongue fulfills. Let me give you a third thing. And that's the mastery the tongue demands. The mastery the tongue demands. Notice if you would in verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. May I say, our tongue reveals who the master of our life really is. It's either us or the Lord. It's either self or the Savior. We see here an inconsistency, certainly, that's disappointing there in verses 10 through 12. You think about a fountain offering refreshment. I remember when we was out in Colorado, we went out there while I was pastoring in St. Louis there, and one of our families took my family on vacation with them, and we went to Colorado, and there was a natural soda water fountain. Never seen that before. It literally comes up out of the ground, soda water. You can get you a drink there. As a matter of fact, I did. I just put some in my hand. It tastes just like soda water you buy off the shelf. It's clean. Near Miss Beth's house there, there's a natural spring. And it pumps out water all the time. I've never been by there that water's not coming out of that pipe. I mean, they've got it fixed up. It comes out of there. She tells me there's folks go down there with water jugs all the time, fill them up. But you think about a fountain that being refreshing and something that's usable and helpful and a blessing. We find here that this individual that uses the tongue to bless God and curse men is not a blessing at all. A fig tree offers food. We see here this inconsistency that's disappointing. It's disappointing. Others expect you to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ, but you say not one word. I was at the council meeting, the Board of Supervisors meeting last Tuesday, and by the way, we need to wake up and stand up. There should have been more than one amen. We need to wake up and stand up. There's an effort being waged today by the organization out of Wisconsin to remove prayer from the opening part of the Board of Supervisors meeting up in Wisconsin. This organization, Freedom From Religion, has now threatened to sue Roanoke County if they continue to pray at the Board of Supervisors meeting. The meeting that I was at, I was the only preacher there. Now, I don't know what took place at 7 o'clock. There may have been a whole room full of preachers. I hope there was. But enough's enough. Enough's enough. And there are times we need to stand up and speak up, but there's times we need to sit down and be quiet. Well, how do we know the difference? We ask for wisdom. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We see this inconsistency here that's disappointing. We also see here an impossibility that's demanded. You say, why should we worry about this? Well, notice what the Bible said there in verse 8. No man can tame the tongue. You say, I'm working hard at it. Never happen. How's it going to happen? We've got to trust the Lord. We've got to trust the Lord. He begins this passage talking to teachers. Masters, he uses the term master, which means teacher. Now, you may not be a teacher here today, but all of us use our tongue. And we can use it for good or we can use it for bad. We can build up or we can destroy. We can encourage or discourage. We can bless or we can blast. Both have the capability, we have the capability of both. You say, what? We need to learn and understand the danger that rests behind this cage of teeth. You can't tame it. You can tame an animal. You can't tame your tongue. We can't help ourselves. We're suffering from an incurable disease, and that's foot and mouth disease. You say, what's the answer? The Lord. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, help me to say things I need to say. Help me to know the things I need not say. I guarantee you, and I'm guilty, I guarantee you a lot of arguments that take place in your home would not take place if before you pounced, you asked the Lord to give you wisdom. It's hard to get mad when you're asking the Lord to control your tongue. I mean, you're steaming hot mad, you're ready to pounce, and then you say, hang on a minute, Lord, help me say things I need to say and help me say things I don't need to say. Well, that kind of takes the fire out of it. Mm-hmm. That kind of mellows the whole thing out. You ever been there? I said a moment ago, that fire, all of us have said things we wish we'd never said. We get mad. I'm the world's worst. Somebody cuts me off in traffic, I'm telling you. Somebody sets at a green light, that aggravates me. My wife, she gets all over me. You ought not be saying stuff like that. I said, they didn't hear it. She said, I heard it. I say all the time, you know, if you're going to get in the passing lane, then pass. This is not a casual lane. People get in the passing lane and drive 5 miles under the speed limit. Oh, it drives me crazy. After a while, I'll say, you know, somebody set a green light. I mean, they just sit there. I usually say, that's the only shade of green we get today. My wife will say, you ought not be saying that. You're going to get in the passing lane, then pass and get back over. Quit watching the median. You want to take a casual drive, then go to the parkway. Stay off of 81. Amen. Now, if you're in that casual driving in the passing lane, if you see a white van come up behind you, get over. I'm not interested in going 45 miles an hour in the passing lane. I'll get upset. I'll say things I shouldn't say. Ever been there? You know why you do that? Because you can't tame that tongue. It's out of control. But the Lord can help us. The Lord can help us. I want to challenge you. Next time you get mad and want to spout off, just take about 5 seconds and ask the Lord to help you say what needs to be said and pass over things that don't mean nothing. I guarantee you that'll cut your arguments in half. You'll come to church smiling. I'll say, what's wrong? We didn't fight today. Wonderful. You know, people come to church, they fight all the way to church. argue. One of them's late and the other one's out blowing the horn. Kids fussing and fighting and bickering in the back seat. You got your mind really on spiritual things. Get out of the car and it's been World War III all the way here, and you get out of the car smiling like, all is well. How you doing? Wonderful. And the kids are looking at you like you're strange. And they know you're lying right through your teeth. Well, we wasn't doing wonderful driving up that hill. Wonderful. God gave you a cage of teeth to put in front of that tongue. We need to trust Him. At times, we accidentally hurt people. Usually because we're mad, upset. But at times, it's poison. May God help us today to use this worst member of the church the right way. We'll encourage one another. Now, I'm not saying we ought to condone sin. But we ought to encourage one another. We ought to use this in such a way that it honors the Lord and not honors us. Let's bow our heads. I believe the Lord would have us this morning consider the way we use our tongue. The truth is, often we say things we should never say. Sometimes it's deliberate, sometimes it's not deliberate. And though we all may not be teachers, we still all speak. May God give us wisdom to speak the right way. To use this member that can't be tamed by itself in a way that honors the Lord. It may be the Lord has nudged your heart today and said, hey, you got a member that's out of control. It's wild, can't be tamed. You need my help. I want to encourage you to come and do the right thing. Lord, help me. Help me. You may be here and you're lost. You say, well, this wasn't a salvation message. Well, maybe you've never been told the gospel. Maybe you have and you've rejected it. But I want to encourage you to consider eternity today. It's amazing. The man in hell asked for a drop of water to cool his tongue because he was tormented in the flame. Let me encourage you to be obedient this morning. Let's do what the Lord would have us to do. If you've used your tongue in an inappropriate way or a wrong way, you need to come and make that right. And you may need to go to someone and say, hey, I've said something about you I should have never said. Please forgive me. You say, I can't do that. Well, you used your tongue to do something else. Do the right thing. You know, most churches, or a lot of churches, will have revival. People just get right with one another. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that we might take these simple thoughts and may they embed deeply in our heart and take root and produce the fruit in our lives that brings the greatest honor to you. Lord, may we honestly consider how it is we use our tongue, whether to honor you or dishonor you. Whether to lead people to you or to drive people away from you. By chance, if there's one or more here this morning that's lost, I pray they might consider eternity, trust you as their Savior. And we'll thank you for it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand if you would please. They'll be singing hymn 393.